At the age of 22 years old, I was living in the state of New Jersey, a little town called Roebling, New Jersey, just out of sight of Bordentown. And I had received a call. Now, let me explain my state of mind at the time. I'm not doing good. I'm drinking heavily. I had secured an apartment, but I was behind on my rent because I was spending the rent on beer. I was hungry, and the landlady that owned the building had a garden outside, but the tomatoes were still green. Well, you've heard the term fried green tomatoes? That's what I was living on. I was stealing her tomatoes out of the garden, taking them in to my only pan, frying them, and eating them. Until one day, I had left some in some kind of a container in the fridge. And when I went back and looked, you know where the top surface of what I was cooking was in the pan? He was eating through the pan. So I don't know what I had created in there. But I thought, oh my Lord, is that going to happen to me? I was a shipwreck. It was a mess. Received a phone call, and my mother said that my 17-year-old sister had ran away. I think she was 17. And, day after day went by, and then a few weeks. And 3 weeks into it, I made a decision. I need to go back to Washington State and be with my mother during this time when Karen has ran away. And so I told people I was leaving and got in my little pickup and headed out across the country. Halfway across the country, I'm making phone calls home, and my mother says, we think we've located her. We think she's in Salt Lake City. So by the time that I get to Yakima, Washington, they have located her, they went and got her, and they brought her home. Had that happened before I left, I'm not sure I would have left, and I'd still be in the state that I was in. I don't mean the state of New Jersey, the state of drunkenness. I had become an alcoholic. I would never use that term back then. I was drinking every night. And I needed a rescue. I needed to be rescued. And so this situation was the tipping point to get me to leave and come back here to Yakima. Now, about a year after I had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I was attending the church there in Yakima. I was no longer drinking or smoking or carousing around. I made a trip back to New Jersey, see my dad. While I was there, I was thinking, I should check out and see if there is, a Pentecostal church here in this area. So I looked it up, and sure enough, 444 Whitaker Avenue, Trenton, New Jersey. I'm going to go check it out. So I go to this little church in a real rough part of Trenton. And I walk in the back, and I notice there's nobody playing the piano. There's nobody playing the organ. But they're singing. And so on the visitor's card, I fill out my name, and it says, do you play an instrument? So I'm getting a visual now of what's really taking place there. And it was a smaller crowd. I'm sitting in the back, and the pastor takes the visitor's card and reads my name. When he does, three heads go like that. Three of my old drinking buddies from the Central House Tavern were sitting there on pews, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. And I thought, if I would have stuck around, it was likely that I would probably be right there with them. But that wasn't God's plan. God has a plan. He knows where we are. He knows where He wants us. He knew from before our origin at birth, He knew who we were. And He had a place. And He has coordinated a path through our lives. And some of us have cooperated. Some of us are still defining that, becoming alive to that. Now, when I repented at midnight one night, driving down the road, it was a Saturday night. I knew I needed to go. I wanted to go find wherever my grandmother was. I didn't care where she was, what the name of the church was, all because I didn't know anything except I needed God, and I had made an appeal to God. My life is a shipwreck. If you'll take my life and do something with it, I will surrender wholly to you. And so I drove straight to my grandmother's church. I came in, you know, she cried, Grandpa cried, I cried, we all cried. And there was a pastor there that had was on vacation, and there was another guy visiting, and he talked to me about the Holy Ghost and things like this. But anyway, nothing seemed to go anywhere, didn't progress. And I was there for 2 months. And then a friend of mine started turning to the Lord, but he had no support. His wife was not going with him. You've heard me tell this. So I went. And so God, still coordinating my path, was leading me not to an address, not to a location, and I would say not to an assembly, but to a shepherd. Because I was now a sheep. And so, Daniel R. Leslie was the shepherd that God led me to. He wasn't in New Jersey. He was in Washington. God had to coordinate a path to lead me into, listen, His will. His purpose. His plan. He said He was going to build His church. The gates of hell would not prevail against it. And He wanted me in the church. He places the members in the body as He wills. And so He said, there's a place in the body that I've ordained for you. And you've got to allow me to lead you and place you so that we can progress in this thing called the kingdom of God. Of course, I wasn't aware of any of that. I thought I was making choices in all of that. It's interesting how God works sometimes. Sometimes He thinks, you think He's giving you choices, and He's actually giving you no options. We joke around, you know, with the guys say it's my way or the highway. Well, if God could, that's the way He'd work with us sometimes. Look, just, it's going to be easier on you. If you'll just be responsive to me and let me lead you. You know, you can only, it's the great thing about getting older. You can go back and reflect on the path. And look, you look at that and you marvel and think, look at that, you can tell. He was in this from the beginning. He's been moving me, shaping this, bringing me and this young lady, Delia Fisher, together. And we would have children named Kaylee, Lauren, Tara, and they would. And they would be involved in His kingdom. You know, I couldn't see any of that back there. You've heard me tell, as I was sitting drunk at the closing hour of the bar, I said to the bartender, when I get married, I'm going to marry a Christian girl. I said that sitting at the bar. And you're telling me this, why? I don't know. Lights on, closing the bar, everybody out. I don't know, does God visit people in the bar? Oh, yeah. If you've been there, you remember. Yeah. First Peter 5 and 2. You know, for some, this is going to feel like a deviation from our typical approach. We can be considered sometimes pretty lax in that we don't tell people what to do. We don't, you know, demand a lot. We don't really demand anything, but we can give strong advice a time or two. But there is a principle in the scripture. I'm praying that you will embrace this principle and the spirit of the principle for your life. Let it be a governing element for you in your daily living. 1 Peter 5 and 2, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. This is instruction coming from the Apostle Paul to a group of leaders or shepherds. And he refers to the body of Christ as a flock. He refers to us as sheep. My sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. He speaks to the called out leaders as shepherds. Shepherds over a flock. He's giving a earthly analogy to bring a human understanding to a spiritual principle. And so the two words that I highlight in this scripture are flock. I'm a part of a flock. And oversight. Acts chapter 20, 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. It did not take me long to realize that Pastor Daniel R. Leslie had been given a place in my life and had spiritual oversight. Now, I didn't use that term back then. I wouldn't have had an understanding even of this principle back then. I used to just tell people, I think he's the wisest man in the world. The wisdom of God that would flow out of him was just... And that was a perception that I was gaining because of the spirit of wisdom that flowed through him because of the office that he was given concerning me. I would get around other preachers and I would even do these comparisons. Yeah, he's good, but he ain't like my pastor. To me, I remember sharing this with some guys, and they'd look at me like, well, you haven't met everybody yet. I said, no. I've been around a little bit. No, there is wisdom that comes from him. It's just when I need it, I can share a situation with him, and it's like it just falls out of heaven, and he speaks it. Well, that is true. Because he was not an educated man. He was not a schooled man. He could tell you all that he flunked out of and all the trouble that he'd gotten into and how rebellious he was. And he was raised by grandma and grandpa and his aunts and uncles because mom gave him up as a baby. But to me, he was the greatest man in the world. See, I didn't have full understanding and revelation at that time of the God-given place that he had. And so the things that God was doing for me through him, I attributed to the man. Only later to realize that the love that I had for the man was really a love of God through the man. As we mature in life, we gain these understandings. Because we realize he's still a man. I remember even times when I got too close to the man. Too casual to the man. That I begin to lose the prophet in my life. Had to take action on that. Get things back in right order. Hebrews 13 and 17. Okay, strap on the seatbelt. Lock down. Ready? Obey them that have the rule over you. You know, like when you go to work in the morning and you punch in and the boss says, I don't want you to do that today. I want you to go do this. Oh, no. You know that thing that you've been wearing on the job? That's not a part of uniform. You're supposed to have. Yes, yes. Okay. I'll wear those black shoes next week. You know, because you know if you don't submit to the direction of your management, your paycheck can be in question. Your job can be in question. Your future could be in question. So, no problem. No questions. You don't go home and talk to, you know, the family and say, I don't think it's fair. I don't think they should demand that we wear green shirts. If I want to wear a blue shirt, I should be able to wear my blue shirt. If I want my hair down over my collar, I should wear my hair down over my collar. Who does he think he is anyway? Doesn't he know this is America? No. We don't do that. Paycheck in jeopardy. Okay, yes, I'll be here next week. Do the same. The scripture says, obey them that have the rule over you. So that's got to be talking about the job, right? Or the government, right? Well, wait a minute. Let's read a little further. For they that watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that, you want to talk about paycheck and jeopardy? That is unprofitable for you. Now, we're real hard taskmasters around here. I know. We just got all these rules and we're just hammering you all the time. No. If you've been here longer than 6 weeks, you know that's not the truth. But the scripture declares to me that there are those in my life that God has given rule in my life. And not only that, spiritually, they watch for my soul. That means God gives them something for me when there's trouble ahead. Talk to me about what's going on right in your job right now. How are things going in your family? What about between you and your wife? That's none of your business. You better make it. All I'm saying, God will give whoever they are, they who are watching for your soul, whoever they are, you determine. By the Spirit and the gifting of God and by office, He gave pastors to the church. He gave apostles. He gave evangelists. He gave prophets. He gave giftings of ministry into the church to care for me, to edify me, to build me up. Well,
who are they?
Well, has God led you to a shepherd? For 14 years in my life, it was Daniel R. Leslie. Did I know all that back then? Not like I should have. Not like it would have benefited me to have known that. Okay? Well, I've been around 35 years now. I've learned a few things. And I look to the Scripture for those things that are true, not those things that are popular. Not those things that are popular. Now I realize that we're living in a society and in a time. Some are receiving teaching about marketing their church because what they've now admitted is that they're really just a franchise operation. And so they are studying and researching how they might attract more of the market. That's business. That's not church. That's a franchise mentality that surrounds us. Burger King, McDonald's, Zippies, Jippies, everything eats. And people are buying into a concept and a mentality because they think that the concept is that they are to amass numbers. That ain't the focus. If we will be married to Christ, and if we'll walk in communion with Him, there is an outflow of that relationship that automatically has a draw on people. Those whom He has chosen. Those whom He has led into your circle of influence. And if they're not in the circle of influence, He'll use you at a stoplight. He can do it. Pray with me. Let's pray. Come on. Father, show me. Talk to me. Show me how this fits in my life. Tell me how this fits and where. This fits for me in my life. Let your word prevail in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So nobody showed up that day. It was time to set up a fireworks booth. Me and one other guy. And so we struggled at, putting all these walls together and with screws and bolts. And, of course, the holes didn't line up and you had to drill new holes. And, it was a mess. And it was hot on a July Yakima night. And in the midst of our setting up the booth, the other gentleman starts talking to me. He has some different ideas and he had wanted to share them with me and different concepts. And, he didn't altogether think like the pastor did so much. And he began to very giftingly articulate to me. Made sense. You had to agree. The way he communicated it, you just, yeah, yeah. Oh, he was good. By the end of the night, the booth is up. He and I just became best buddies. Almost like we thought alike. And a couple days later, it was Sunday. And I couldn't even hardly wait to the end of the preaching. I felt so dirty. I felt so grimy. I felt so wrong. As soon as they gave an altar call, man, I was in the altar. Oh, God, wash that off of me. Get this off of me. I don't like the feel of this. Something's wrong. I looked across, thinking the gentleman would be at the altar on the other side. He's back in the pew. Then it all made sense. He and his wife had invited me over to dinner one night. And I didn't normally do this, but I thought, you know, I'm going to call the pastor and ask him. That's okay. And I called and he said, I'd rather you didn't. Huh? I wasn't expecting that. Well, I think they were just wanting to have dinner. Yeah, I'd rather you didn't. Oh man, now I got to call this guy and tell him no. And so I don't remember how I managed that, but I managed it. And now, when I reflected back to that, now I knew. He knew, and he was watching. He was watching for my soul. He was very careful. And I wondered for years, why did he keep them people around? Why didn't he encourage them to move on? Do you know what he told me later? I just didn't have a release from God yet. It was years. And he allowed that to be a part. He's a guardian. He's a shepherd. God. I looked at my life and I wondered how many things God had saved me from because of a shepherd that guarded me. He watched for me. In 14 years, I had one conversation that went this way. Larry, can you meet me at the church? I need to talk with you. Okay. Went to the church. Sat down in the prayer room with him. He said, you've been doing something in the services, and I the only way I know to do is just say it out and just, you know, not beat around the bush. And he told me something I was doing. You would think it very slight. Let me just tell you what it was. I was involved in leading the services. That's pivotal. Okay? And I'd feel something. And I'd voice it. You know, it feels kind of like we're fighting against something. Where there's a weight. I use the term, there's a weight. And here's what he said to me. You felt that, but when you said that, you put that weight on all of us. Oh. Now listen to the rest. By the way, I'm instructing right now. I said, but, you know, brother so-and-so, guy in the higher position, he does it all the time. Yeah, and I've told him, but he don't listen to me. His days were numbered. It was a lot of days, but they were numbered. And he was watching for me. He cared that much about my development and my future and my place in the body of Christ when the smallest of things, he even said there was another elder that brought it to his attention. And you know what I knew about that elder? He was up 4 o'clock every morning at his home before he went to work on his face in prayer. He was the only guy that I knew in the congregation that lived a life of prayer. And when he told me who it was that said it, now it meant everything. And I'm thinking, my Lord, God's got this guy watching out for me. He's got this guy watching out for me. These people involved in ministry. And they're watching for my soul. Oh, I miss him. Sometimes I've preached at places and his family would say, man, you preach just like Dan Leslie. Jeremiah 23:1. Woe, here's a contrast here. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, said the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings. Holy cow. So this gives us enough space to understand that sometimes things do not go as God intended or planned. Yes, he's called men. He's put them in places. But this is giving us a little wiggle room here. There are some that are not cooperating with him. Does God move sheep from flock to flock? Yeah, he does from time to time. And it becomes evident. It becomes evident in the end. He coordinated this. He moved us. There's been a shift. And hallelujah. We followed him. We heard the sound. We listened. And we moved. We went. In time, God will affirm to every believer, you're in my will. You're in my purpose and my plan. I have coordinated this. Don't keep questioning yourself. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and I will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase, and I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither be lacking, saith the Lord. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some prophets and some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the completing, for the edifying, the building up, the accomplishing of the saints, that they would be involved in the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. This is talking between the Samaritans and the Jews, or the Jews and the Gentiles, I don't remember. Talking about the bringing down of the middle wall partition, I believe. But for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. This is a descriptive of what God is doing when he said, I will build my church in the earth. The gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. Now, there's a lot of men on the earth that have manipulated that. Yet today, you see God establishing. I remember a time when I was traveling a little bit and connecting with various people, ministries. And in just what would seem like moments, you would recognize God has developed, he's established a spiritual connection here. See, we would say a spiritual connection because we weren't affiliated any other way, hardly. Basic doctrine, yes. But, you know, the idea of districts and sections and organizations even. There was a guy, I know that I may have shared this in some fashion, but when I was in Singapore a few months ago, there was a family who that was in the meeting that it was life-changing for them. The one young man, he had kind of pulled away from the work of God that he had been involved in. And they told me about this later. I didn't know any of this when it was happening in Singapore. When I got to the Philippines a month later, these people are there. And they're telling me, yeah, we met in the, remember we were in Singapore, and remember this guy? Which I didn't. Well, he had a big bushy beard. He had since shaved it off, and he had committed his life back to God. And so they're trying to get me to understand what it is that had transpired in Singapore for them. Now they're involved in the Philippines. And they said, we are members of the AFJC. Well, I didn't hear closely, and I thought he said ALJC. ALJC is an organization in the United States, predominant in the South, but there's some up here too. What's that stand for? ALJC. Isn't it the ALJC? Oh, what? Assemblies of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. So when I look closer, because this young man is communicating with me, he connects. I find out he's listening to all our stuff online. He gets on Facebook. He's transcribing all this stuff to his Facebook account. And then I find out he's connected to the leadership of this organization, AFJC, Apostolic Fellowship of Jesus Christ, in the Philippines. Well, they just had their conference, and he's sending me to the link to it. And now he's telling me we're trying to get you to be the speaker for the conference next year. What's going on? Here's my point being, God establishes spiritual link and connection with individuals because God is building his church in the earth. He's not dissuaded by a lot of our divisions of man. But that's him placing the members in the body. I know we make everything relative to the congregation and what the world uses as the term of this church. How God is functioning just in that way. I'm going to tell you something. He doesn't operate within these walls like we would think or stay within these walls. He reaches. Pray with me again, please. You're a part of something much greater. You're a part of something much grander, much larger in the earth. For this season and this time. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, these little prayer meetings that you're having, they reach far greater than your community. Let's not ignore our community. But there is a reach. Mark, you would have no idea that your effort of putting this material online of the myriad of people who are plugging in and using this.
We don't take ownership over that. We don't take possession of it. We don't have a clue.
But we do it because we're compelled by the Spirit of God. In whom, verse 21, all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. I don't know if I have communicated effectively enough that you have gained the picture or the imagery that he really has desired and wished to give you placement according to a blueprint. That at the end of our lives,
he'll take how we lived it out, all that we're doing and we're involved in, and he'll lay it over top of what he had ordained and purposed.
It's far grander than us making choices and decisions about climate or jobs or music, personalities. Oh, no. It goes far deeper than that. Would you stand? God. You heard me say it earlier. Does God make changes and adjustments with us? Absolutely. Does he give seasons? Absolutely. Bottom line is, they that are led by his Spirit, they are the sons of God. I want his leadership in my life. I want to lead and direct. I want to be conscious and cognizant of shepherds in the myriad of ways that he brings it. We have a broad-based leadership team within Life Ministries. It involves many individuals. We have one spirit of ministry. Chances are God has led you to be involved in this one spirit of ministry. And whoever that may involve. Okay? And so, I would say to you, don't put a name on and say, you know, don't tell anybody God led you to Larry Schoonover. Don't tell anybody that God led you to Nick Johnstone. You just know that God led you here. Okay? And through the offices given and the ministries that have prevailed, through the various individuals that they are called on, when the Spirit of God so inspires, it's because there are those whom He has given watch.
Would you find a place to pray right now and talk to the Lord about His voice in your life?